Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Jennifer Gentleman. She's a software engineer on the Windows team. How are you?
Hey, Scott. Excellent.
I'm pretty happy to be talking to you because people don't realize this, but even though, of course, they know that I work for Microsoft, at least currently, as of the time that we are recording this show. And even though this show is not like technically a Microsoft specific show, I think of it as non-denominational. People don't realize that like my division, which is the developer division, like I don't necessarily kind of hang out with y'all. Like I don't know anything about your universe of the Windows. Is it WDG?
WDG, yeah. Windows Devices and Group something.
Windows
I hate
Devices
acronyms.
And Group. Yeah, I don't know. But it's the Windows like
Windows
division,
and Devices
the whole
group.
Universe.
Yeah.
Windows and
yeah.
Device Group. So, yeah, so our groups are very different because it's 100 bajillion people in the company. So you have your own engineering systems, you have your own feedback systems, and we share some stuff. Like I assume you build with our products, Visual Studio?
Yeah. Yep. I love Visual Studio. You guys have been doing awesome stuff recently.
I will take full credit for that, even though I had nothing to do with it.
As you should.
Ah, of course. Absolutely. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. But the thing that you do that is cool and what I think we've all noticed, and I'm speaking, by the way, I want to make sure people understand, I'm speaking as the enthusiastic user of Windows as opposed to the person that knows anything about Windows from the inside. Because I don't like have the code for Windows.
There's a lot of code.
Yeah, there's a ton of code. You're really listening to feedback more than ever before. And like the whole insiders thing, those are like the same builds that people have internally, right? Like I'm a Windows insider, so I get, what is it called? The fast ring?
You can get fast ring, slow ring, or the release preview ring as a Windows insider.
And the fast ring is like a show, like what is it, a build every week or so?
More or less, yeah. And obviously when you get builds that fast, they can have more issues, but they're also more on the front line of cool features and improvements. Whereas slow is like, I want the cool stuff, but I do want to have a level more stability before I get it. And then release preview is actually, you get cumulative updates before production, or some of the cumulative updates before production. Yeah, so those are the three rings that we have right now.
Okay. And are those special or different, or they are just the same? They come out of the Windows build server. Like I know that internally I have access to a folder that's called like WinBuilds, and I can install Windows from that. Are the ones that the insiders get the same as that?
Yep, that's the same. I mean, I think we're flighting out of RS2_release right now as of the latest fast builds. But effectively, yeah, it's, I get the builds, you get the builds, they're the same builds.
Isn't that kind of like a big culture shift? It seems to me that must have been at the highest levels that they were making a decision like that. That, oh yeah, let's just give people the builds that we've been giving ourselves internally.
It's pretty cool. I mean, we did beta programs, I think, in the past. But by the time people got the builds, the feedback we were getting, it was really good feedback, but it wasn't we didn't really have an easy way to keep track of it all, and a lot of stuff had changed by the time we were receiving the feedback. And because the fast ring is so fast, like, we really can, you know, iterate on our features as soon as they get the builds and they start telling us what they want.
So that's kind of like, I don't know if this is a thing, feedback-driven development.
I mean, the very first thing any of my team members ask me when we flight a new feature is like, what did they say? Did they like it? Like, how'd they react? And like, I share screenshots from Twitter and Reddit and like, and we look at, you know, we have these little pop-ups, which are like, what did you think about the new start experience? And like, we'll look at how the ratings are and we can filter by like, who gave us a one? Like, it's rubbish. And we're like, no, why? And yeah. So
humans really see is, that. Like, to be clear, like, they did that. I'm on a, what am I on now? I'm on Insider Fast 1531 as of the recording of this show. And, what was I doing? Something. And then it was kind of creepy, but also kind of comforting because it was like, were you able to find what you needed or whatever? And I was like, mm-hmm. What? Yeah. Like, well, how did you know what I was doing? It notices stuff. So it, like, it'll see you use the action center and then it'll say, what'd you think about the action center? You're saying actual humans have actual meetings. And yes. Screenshots of our comments on Reddit or whatever do get in front of humans.
Yeah, most of us. So I am one of the shell community champs, but there's at least one for each team. There's a few of the teams that have more than one. And a lot of us send weekly or biweekly reports sharing all the top feedback, what's trending, what's kind of died down, what went out in the last flight. Yeah, we're very feedback-driven.
So you said you're a shell engineer. Shell meaning Explorer EXE and the start menu, or what is the shell?
So in WGG, the two big orgs, there's the core team and there's the shell team, and the core kind of works on all of the platform-level APIs, and then the shell builds the UI or user interface on top of that. So my specific team owns the start menu, the taskbar, action center, virtual desktops, all that kind of stuff. Actually, File Explorer is also owned by Shell, but it's a different team than mine. But it's a lot of fun. I'm a very visual person, so the Shell team made sense for me.
And the feedback that you get when I go to the feedback app, like there's this little app that you run that is in all of the things. It's called the Feedback Hub. I recently figured out, and tell me if I figured this out correctly, it's actually way more sophisticated than we thought. Like, I thought it was basically just user voice, and
it has a lot more.
Yeah, what's going on in there? Because I realized when I go and say add more feedback, it's really sending logs and doing a bunch of stuff that I did not realize it was doing.
Yeah, we've really tried to make, like, when we started, user voice was one of the main places of feedback, but we deprecated that and shifted to the feedback hub, and we've really been trying to make it a lot more of a sophisticated system for keeping track of feedback. And part of that is, like, you can add screenshots. If you can consistently repro an issue, you can actually add monitoring, and you can go through the steps that cause you to get into that state. We were able to see, like, when was the feedback, what build number was the feedback first logged for, what build is it still getting feedback on, how many different tracking VSO items there are for that feedback. Because obviously you can imagine, like, when you have feedback, like, the start menu isn't reliable. It's not just one reliability issue. I mean, you could have a variety of things that impact reliability on the system, and then we're able to link multiple items to that. And actually recently so in the back end, we've always tracked feedback in groups. And that's just because, I mean, feedback, we get it from every different language. So kind of inherently, if you have feedback across a bunch of different languages, that's all the same, you need a way to group it all together. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people also log feedback. I mean, one person will log feedback, someone else will log the same feedback. Maybe they didn't see it, maybe they want us to still know that it's an issue. So we track feedback in groups. Mm-hmm. And recently we made that visible on the front end too, which are called collections. And that's where I come in and I'm like, people really want support for the lunar calendar in the taskbar. And I publish that as a group, and now you can kind of track the entire entity as opposed to all the individual little ones. The Feedback Hub team is also very interested in responding to feedback kind of appropriately. And it's to help kind of reduce duplicates.
How do you do that in multiple languages, though? Like you said, that people want this calendar, but like, what if they're saying it in French?
So feedback on our end is all automatically machine translated. Yeah, and we can see the original language, but when we look at the feedback in the Feedback Hub or in Visual Studio, in VSO, it's just automatically translated. Obviously, their machine translation is pretty awesome, but still has some work to go.
Right.
So you kind of get used to some of the phrasing. My classic example is like live tiles is frequently translated as a dynamic blocks. I've been working with feedback enough that I know that, but we also have a whole loc team that, you know, if we do have questions about how it's translated, we can pass it off to them and they'll let us know what the intent of the feedback was.
Yeah. Cause I assume the feedback around the lunar calendar, this is the Chinese lunar calendar.
Yep.
Would be coming in Chinese.
Added it. Yes. Yeah. We actually added it with 15002. That was one of the features.
And that's interesting because that's like a piece of feedback that I don't care if it's there or not. But then there's a billion people that do. So like that's cool. And is that one of those things that like bubbles up in the sense of like, we never thought that anyone would care about the lunar calendar until the user said so? Or did you know it and you'd just been punting on it and then it became like a hot issue?
With that specific example, we first saw the feedback for the Outlook calendar app started getting a lot of feedback for the lunar calendar. And because actually all the community so most of the nodes in the Feedback Hub have associated community champs that kind of go in and monitor and make sure the right stuff's happening. And we actually have effectively a mailing list where all of us talk about what's going on. And so we were aware of the interest for the lunar calendar. And with the anniversary update, we integrated calendar into the taskbar calendar, which was also actually a top feedback request. And when that happened, we did kind of anticipate lunar calendar requests coming in for the taskbar as well. And it happened. So I guess we anticipated correctly and were able to check that off. But yeah, I know a lot of people are concerned that, like, you know, maybe a lot of people at Microsoft speak English, and so, you know, should I be logging feedback in English? If I log it in Portuguese, maybe they don't understand me or it won't get acted on as quickly. But as it actually, like, most of the feedback, I probably can't tell you what that lunar calendar is a very specific example, because obviously, yes, it comes predominantly from people who speak Chinese, but a lot of our other feedback, I don't remember what language it came from, because to me, it's just the language of feedback.
But it's not ignored, is what I'm hearing you say. Like, if 1,000 Chinese people want a feature and it gets upvoted and put into a collection or some kind of bucket, it's going to be seen regardless of the language that it was in.
Yep, that's correct. We do sometimes, like, we will pivot feedback by region or language, because sometimes it can tell us, like, we actually put out a particular flight where there was a bug in one of the resource strings, and it resulted in the all apps list just being missing. I think it was for Brazilian and Chinese simplified. And, you know, if you'd been looking at overall feedback, it wouldn't really have spiked, but we were able to see that, there was a larger amount of dissatisfaction amongst those languages, and we pivoted the feedback. And we were like, wow, you guys really need to look into this, because obviously there's something these guys are hitting that isn't impacting any other language.
So people do notice those outliers. Because sometimes as a user of Windows, you know, we are a user as well, so you have the same feelings. There's this sense of maybe we're not being heard. You know, like, what about this bug from 9 years ago that's bugging you? You know, like, there's a bug that bugs me, which is, and I don't know if it's a bug, it's a behavior. You're probably familiar with this. I feel like when I go to Explorer and I click on downloads and I have like gigabytes in my downloads folder, there's this pause. It's like slow. And then there's this apocryphal, like the language of the internet, where like people say, well, if you right click and say customize and change it to general items instead of picture, you know, then it'll work. And no one knows why, but it's like cargo cult programming, where it's like, if you twiddle this bit or change that registry key that we don't know anything about, it'll fix it. And then we go and we do that, and then we wonder why Microsoft doesn't like listen to us. How do they get surfaced? Like, how do we make you hear us?
I mean, I think that part of that is why it's cool for us to be visible externally in social media as well, because obviously the Feedback Hub has its place, and like, we do look at top and trending, and we look at like top issues for the flight. But sometimes, like, when I hang out with people on Reddit, you can really dig into the specific repro, like, the specific kind of device, why it's important, how long it's been there. And that's where, like, we had one, I mean, it was a while back now, but it was an issue where if you had your time zone set to Venezuelan, then the taskbar clock was an hour off. If you open the flyout, the taskbar clock was an hour off.
The flyout is the thing that happens when you click and then it pops up and shows you the calendar. And
yeah. So the taskbar was correct, but in the flyout, it was an hour off. And even though there was feedback for it in the Feedback Hub, it never really reached critical mass, because obviously it's a very specific set of users who were impacted.
Yeah.
But in social media, they reached out to us and they're like, we really think you guys should look into this because it's a consistent repro for me. It seems really serious. And I took it to the team and they were like, wow, yeah, that's totally legit. Like, we're on it. And they were able to fix it in the next couple of flights. So sometimes it is really like, making it clear the steps for how to get to a certain thing. But
yeah, you know, that's interesting, because I've found that myself to be really true, that if you can get, like, you can complain, you can like say, oh, it sucks, you know, like you said, it's rubbish. But if you can give someone a clear, what they call a repro, right? If you can reproduce this and just like, this, click here, click here, click here, expect this, this is right. Then it's way, way easier to get someone at Microsoft to care. And you know, screenshots, welcome, all that kind of stuff with a nice circle and an arrow pointing at it. Like, that's totally wrong. Things do seem to be getting fixed faster.
It does. I mean, I think the other thing to understand is that we get a lot of feedback. We get a lot of issue reports. We get a lot of feature requests. And because of that, I mean, we have to find ways to prioritize. And that's why, like, the upvotes matter. That's why, you know, making a clear case for how this impacts users matters. So that's an aspect as well.
The idea of not being heard is a tough one, because you've got how many millions of people doing insiders right now? 100 million? Several million?
I don't remember the numbers offhand, but
it's millions, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think we can go and find a blog post and they'll tell
us. Sure,
somewhere out there, like, I don't know the number, but I know it's millions, right? So there's a whole ton of people out there that are beta testing, you know, for us. You're saying that you're getting multiple pieces of feedback from everybody. And the upvotes, is that the number one way for people to be heard?
Upvotes definitely helps. I mean, as I said, like, there are real people going into the Feedback Hub and managing all the feedback that comes in. And while there are a lot of different ways that we pivot it, I mean, the first thing we do is try to make sure that the top things coming in are being addressed. And anytime, like, and as I said, we do group feedback. So, like, if you have five items that all have five upvotes, we group that, and then you have 25 upvotes. But still, someone needs to come in and do that. And so there is sometimes a delay if something had 25 upvotes to begin with versus it's now being tracked as a 25 upvote item, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I assume crashes are a kind of feedback and that gets bucketed in a more programmatic way?
Yeah, crashes use the Windows error reporting system. And so actually, like, we do look at feedback about crashes as well, but we have an automated system that automatically tells us that, you know, in flight 15031, we're seeing a large number of settings crashes due to whatever the function call is when someone clicks on device settings is the crash in that particular build.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually knew about that crash going into the flight, but obviously our telemetry is confirming that people are still trying to access that page.
Which crash is this? I'm trying to run a device. I'm trying to make it crash myself.
In the 15031 flight, if you open settings and click on devices, it will crash settings.
It will crash.
It will crash.
Crash. Oh, there. Oh, poof. Yeah, just, yeah. Look at that. That's cool.
It was an unknown issue for the flight. Usually we flight. There's actually a workaround. If you search for settings, the settings within devices, you will be able to access those pages. It's just clicking devices will crash settings.
That's so weird. Like when from the outside, when things like that happen, it's like, how did that happen? What's happening underneath? Why is that weird? You know, it makes us wonder how all these things get fixed. And it also makes us wonder how you will decide what the final build is or the golden build and what you decide to give us.
Yeah. At some point, I think a year ago, we made the decision that we were going to make fast faster.
Yeah.
Which was actually because of feedback. Insiders were like, we want the builds as soon as you guys get them. And we agreed that them getting their hands on the build faster is a benefit to everyone. Obviously, the cost is that means we can't, there are some things we don't find fast enough to fix it before the flight. And then that's where we put it as a known issue.
Was it a conscious decision to make people go out on social media? Because I've noticed that you're on social media a lot more than like maybe a year ago. I know that, what's her name? Donna Sarkar?
Mm-hmm.
Is Sarkar. Out a lot. Sarkar? Mm-hmm. People are out there like looking around. Because sometimes I feel like I'm finding bugs just by looking on Twitter. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, actually. So the community champion role started not that long after the Windows Insider program itself started. I actually began doing it in February 2015. This is my 2-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I officially started on Reddit over a year and a half ago and on Twitter a year ago. And yeah, the idea has always been about letting people know that their voices are heard, and trying to understand the incoming feedback and let them know how things are being changed because of their feedback. So more and more teams are getting engineers to take on this kind of role. We still do have a lot more people in the back end who look at feedback than you might see online. So. Mm. A lot of people report stuff to me on Reddit and Twitter, and I love all of it. Obviously, I don't have time to look into all of it, and so sometimes, like, you know, I might share the feedback with the lock screen community champion, or I might share the feedback with the photos community champion, and then they'll look into it on their end.
So you sound like your job is kind of similar to mine. I mean, although mine seems like it's more of a hobby than I don't really have time to do it, is you're like a bug router at the high level, like anything show related, and you're routing that bug. Because I feel like I do that a lot. I didn't actually go out and decide that would be a job, though. People just started tweeting me bugs.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it kind of helps that inherently my team covers some pretty diverse areas, and so I've always worked a lot with partner teams to make sure the right people are looking into the issue. But yeah, just as more and more people are familiar with me in social media, people just feel comfortable approaching me about things they think should be looked into, and I make sure it happens as much as I can.
I think people, once people realize that you're on their side and that you are like not inherently evil and do actually have an interest in fixing their bug, but also like you said, that the flight, like in a week or two, could have a bug fix. Like it moves that fast. That's where I think things get interesting. If it's like, yeah, we'll fix it in a year, then somehow talking to you becomes less interesting.
Mm-hmm. We've put in a lot of effort over the last, I mean, the Insider program has, and feedback have really grown a lot since it first started October 1st, 2014. In one of those ways is really trying to work on our flight notes to make sure that, you know, if people report issues, we try to make sure those are the ones bubbled up in the improvements list for that flight. Because obviously, I mean, every flight can have thousands of fixes, and so we have to find a way to focus on the ones that people really care about. And so we do a lot of work to make sure that you do see that, hey, you reached out to us about this, and not only did we fix it, but we're letting you know that we fixed it. So please go and check it out and let us know how it went.
Let me ask a loaded question, because like we wouldn't be a podcast unless I like totally jumped you from behind and said, answer this question. Do you, is it still going to be a bug if like a Twitter egg asks you? You know what I mean? Like, what if like there's like famous person has bug versus egg has bug? Do you listen to the eggs?
Yeah. I mean, I listen to everyone as much as possible.
But seriously, you do. Like, if it's a legit bug, it doesn't matter whether the person's verified or not.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as like you can communicate what the issue is and maybe share feedback, if you're willing to get logs, if you're willing to share a screenshot, I'll look into it.
Is it screenshots or videos? What's the best way to get feedback? Is it the feedback like the hub and then send you a link to something?
I mean, the feedback hub is while we...
Yeah, I was just going to say, bring the feedback hub up.
It's really cool that... So obviously on Twitter, kind of things are more one-off and like people might like a post, but they may not actually be impacted by it. Whereas on Reddit, people will actually get into much longer discussions of, you know, the design or like how they got impacted by something. And it's been really cool that like, I mean, I love Reddit. But over the last year, we've really seen an increase in something spikes in Reddit. And then you see a correlating spike in the feedback hub. And that's really what makes my job easier, because in the past, like, people would get really upset about something on Reddit, but then you didn't kind of have any of that correlating evidence on the feedback hub. And I still take the feedback to my team, but since the feedback hub is really where we track everything, it does make it a little bit more difficult if I can't be like, look, they clearly have this issue on Reddit, but it's not there in the feedback hub. So. Yeah. There's a bit more of a correlation now, which I love.
One of the things I noticed, I don't know when it happened, but I'm in the feedback hub right now, and like there's some stuff that has like 1,000, or one thing has like 10,000 upvotes. Mm-hmm. And then this is, I don't know if this is new, it says an official response has been posted.
Yes.
So that's like super awesome. Like right now, I see one that says the Bluetooth settings page doesn't open. This is the one you mentioned. I click there and it says a fix for this will be out in the next build.
Yep.
Like, rock on, Microsoft response.
We have 4 states currently. We have, we've got it, looking into it, working on it, and changes made. And that's all from our back end. And we can set the state, we can set like a build number where the fix or the feature is in there. We can add sticky comments. Currently, the only people who have permission to add sticky comments are the community champs, which makes sense because
I just found one from you just now as we're talking.
Oh, which one is it?
Action Center appears transparent in build 15014.
Yep, That is another issue.
You had like a workaround. You're like, we're looking at it, and here's a workaround. So like, that's awesome. Here's the one that you're going to have to address now because the world is demanding. Notepad should support the dark theme.
That is Mary Jo Foley's fault.
Is that what that is? So is that like one that someone is like, you know, sitting on and saying, you have to support this?
No. She just, she's very fond of Notepad, and I'm very fond of Dark Theme. I was actually the one who published that collection. She shared that. Well, actually, I think it was Rich Turner who started it, but she shared an interest in having Notepad update to support Dark Theme, and others agree.
That's the kind of hard hitting bug fixing that we really. You know what I mean? Like, there's people who want, like, obscure Linux-y things for the Windows subsystem for Linux, but then there's update Notepad. I don't know.
Well, like, the thing you have to understand is that there are tons and tons and tons of different types of people who use Windows. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, you know, maybe Notepad supporting Dark Theme is only one item that we're tracking, but we actually do track across the board. So, okay, you probably wouldn't know, but like my team was actually the one that added the dark theme switch in settings.
Oh, really?
And one of the things we track is like we've added this feature, but obviously we rely on apps and services to update to support it. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of work with all our partner teams to let them know we implemented this based on feedback and you're getting feedback for this too. And you have to be aware that like, don't just consider your own feedback numbers, but consider, you know, the picture as a whole. Like, you know, maybe Dark Theme here for your app only has 4,000, but we have, you know, 10,000 asking for Dark Theme for Windows. We have another, you know, 5,000 being like, please, every Surface should support Dark Theme. And so we work with our partners to make sure that they look at the feedback as a whole.
We have a cohesive
story.
So, like, from a UX perspective, you're saying Dark Theme is now a thing that we should all be thinking about. And it isn't about Notepad in that case. It's about everybody.
Yes. And Dark Theme is awesome. So, you know.
I don't know. I'm not a fan. I do like the new Nightlight thing, though. That's pretty cool. And I'm going to go right now and upvote the thing that says slow down the transitions because it's too jarring.
They have been working on slowing it down, but more feedback is always appreciated.
Cool. So where can people find you on the internets?
I am Jen MSFT. I started that way on Reddit because it seemed like the most obvious way to let people know that I was affiliated with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Since then, I'm friends with most of the mods for the Microsoft subreddits, so they've actually added a flair to my account there to let people know I'm official. But when I transitioned to Twitter, I became Jen MSFT on Twitter as well, and some people seem to think I'm the only Jen at Microsoft. I can assure you there are many more.
I can assure you that there are many Scots, unfortunately. Dozens and dozens of us. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.